in that movie, I'm telling you, you watch it, just have some tissue. Mm-hmm. If you're a guy and you don't like crying in front of people, just get ready to get up and just walk away and go in the restroom or something.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's a good movie.
It is. If it doesn't make you shed a tear, then then there's something
wrong.
I think. Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to My Movie Story. I'm your host, Brian McAleer. This is the podcast where we dive into the movies that have shaped us. Each episode, we sit down with a special guest to discuss their all-time favorite film, the movie that changed their life, and the one film they think everyone needs to see. Get ready as we journey through the cinematic worlds that make us who we are. This is My Movie Story. My guest for this episode is Charles Banks. Charles is a family man, business owner, and movie lover. Charles has been married to his wife Paula for 24 years, and they have two sons, Elijah and Zion. Charles's business, Ion Beard Care, is all about giving men the tools to rock their beards. When he's not hustling with the business, you'll find Charles glued to the screen, soaking up all sorts of movies, but in his opinion, nothing beats the thrill of a good horror movie. Now, here's our interview with Charles. So welcome to My Movie Story, Charles. It's great to have you. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah, I've been really looking forward to our chat. And, you know, we first connected a few weeks ago and you shared with me the movies you wanted to talk about. And I really like your enthusiasm and passion for these films as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a really good conversation, I think. And but, yeah, before we get to your movies, Charles, tell us a bit about yourself. You know, where do you live? What do you do for a living? Yeah. What would you like to share with us?
Yeah, so my name is... Yeah, Charles Banks. I'm from the U.S. I live in Norfolk, and I've been married for like 27 years. I have two sons, 23 and 21. And I currently work at IKEA, but I also own my own business. It's Ion Beard Company.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still trying to get off the ground. I'm focused because hopefully one day I can work for myself. That's my biggest goal right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Tell us a bit about the business. What's your product or what's your niche? What's it all about?
Right now, I have beard care products. It's for your beard. So, you know, to help you grow a healthy beard.
Yep.
For all the guys that's trying to grow a beard, help you. I have the beard oil, the balm, the conditioner.
Right.
And even if you have any, if people have any questions about their beard and I can answer, hey, I'm here for them.
Fantastic. And do you create these products yourself or are you like a distributor? Like how does that work?
I create them and also right now I have an online store, but I mainly do pop-ups right now. And you know, pop-ups is like if somebody holds an event and I go there and try to sell my products and inform people about my products.
Yep.
So I just have to make sure I got the gift of gab so I can just talk to the people, give them as much information as I can.
Yep.
And hopefully they fall in love with the product.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, yeah, I hope that goes really well for you. And personally, I have never tried to grow a beard myself. I have very slow growing facial hair.
Yeah.
And, you know, I only have to shave every like 4 or 5 days or something. But you never know. I might give it a go one day. It's like, yeah. I can't picture myself with a beard personally, but you know, if I guess, is there a product there that might help my facial hair grow a bit faster?
You know what? When I, a lot of people use stuff that I don't suggest, like minoxidil, you know, the stuff they use for your hair. Your hair. They try to use that, but I think when they say like, beard growth, I think the main thing that the stuff do is stimulates your hair growth, because if you have spots in your hair or your hair, you know, like you say, your hair grows, it's not going to make it just grow miraculously, just get puffy. And I think that's the misconception that a lot of these people be giving customers.
Okay, so better to just let it grow naturally. And
sometimes you got to go through that rough stage. That's the hardest stage.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just look crazy.
Yep.
That's hard.
For sure. Absolutely. Well, it's definitely in Australia, it's, you know, they're definitely more popular now than ever, I think, beards. And All kinds of beards and, different shapes and, different forms and all of that kind of thing. So yeah, it's a definitely a thing over here as well. And all the best with the business. I hope it takes off for you and, you can work for yourself. It's definitely the dream. I'd love to be able to just work for myself the whole time as well. But I kind of have a part-time job, plus I do all my other stuff on the side. So yeah, it'd be nice to work for yourself and we could just watch more movies as well, which would be good. So
Yes, that's the that's I wish.
absolutely. All right, cool. So let's dive into your movies then, Charles. So you've brought a few very different films with you to our podcast today, a couple of which are well known. People have heard of them, people have seen them. They were big landmark movies. One that might be a bit of a lesser known film. It was one that I hadn't seen before. So you've introduced me to it, or at least reminded me that it was there, and I've watched it, and it was fantastic. So three films, and I'll get you to introduce each film for us. And the first one we're going to talk about is your number one all-time favorite movie. And it is hard to choose just one. But I got the impression from you that this film is number one, and there isn't much other competition. It's like right up there
No.
for you. Yeah. So yeah, please tell us, Charles, what is that movie, and if you could just set it up for us.
My all-time favorite is Pulp Fiction.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? Get down, get down. You got a corpse in a car, minus a head in a garage. Take me to it.
Don't you hate that?
Hate what?
Uncomfortable silences.
John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman, Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, Amanda Plummer, Maria de Medeiros, Bing Rames, Eric Stoltz, Rosanna Arquette, Christopher Walken, and Bruce Willis.
Looking at something for him?
He ain't my friend, Luca.
Die, you mother!
A new film. Directed by Quentin Tarantino. Pulp Fiction.
You really thinking about quitting?
Most definitely.
What you gonna do then?
Basically, I'm just gonna walk the earth.
What you mean walk the earth?
You know, like Kane in Kung Fu.
Pulp Fiction. Yeah, so one of Tarantino's early films from the 90s. Yeah, tell us about seeing that for the first time. Do you remember watching it for the first time, or
Yes, this the first time I seen it. I love Samuel L. Jackson. Awesome actor. And I seen him in it, and I said, you know what, let me check this movie out. And once I checked it out, I love the way Tarantino, first off, is a star-studded. He has a lot. He has Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, John Travolta, I believe Uma Thurman.
Yeah,
Uma
Uma
Thurman in there
Thurman was
too, I
in it.
believe. Yeah, she is. You got Ben Reigns,
Absolutely.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Yo, you can't help but love this movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, he got a
And
lot of good stars.
Yes. And the way that he directed the movie, because maybe I'm looking at it kind of different, but it seems like it was three different setups and everything. Just came together all of a sudden at the end. It just blended together, and I love movies like that
Absolutely.
because you would think it's going one way, and the thing about it is like it. And one thing I really love about the movie is the suitcase. They never show you what's in the suitcase.
No. There's a lot of rumors online about what was in that suitcase.
Yes, they never show you, and I'm like, ah, what is it? You just see a bright light.
Did you have any theories as to what was in that suitcase?
I think it was some gold.
Gold, yeah.
Yes.
I heard this other rumor online that it was, so Marcellus Wallace, played by Ving Rhames, it's his
Yeah.
suitcase. Apparently, it was his soul, that they were carrying his soul in the suitcase, and that's why it was glowing. But I don't know. That's one theory I've heard online, which it seems a bit far-fetched, but you never know. Tarantino has never revealed what was in that suitcase, and he never will. He's sworn to secrecy.
That's the best thing to keep people talking about it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and you mentioned there like the three different storylines and how it all came together. And really, there hadn't really been a film like Pulp Fiction before
it came along, right? And it was not, it was a very non-linear kind of storyline, and you know, it really took Quentin Tarantino's career and shot it right up there, because he broke all the rules of cinema. Like, you know, I remember watching this for the first time with a mate of mine, and then, you know, the story of Bruce Willis trying to find his watch, and he goes back to his apartment, yeah, and John Travolta's and he kills him, right? I forgot
Christopher Walken. Yeah, and Christopher Walken in it too.
And Christopher Walken, yeah. But then later in the film, John Travolta shows up again, and I must have missed something. I'm like, hang on, he's dead. What's he doing back here? And I thought he'd come back to life. And then I was like 14 when I first saw it, you know? So it took me a while to figure that out.
Yeah, because it seems like he'll put the ending somewhere in a certain part in the beginning. You know, like he just switched it all around. Because Travolta got killed coming. Yeah, he got killed. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you see him again in another scene.
Yep. Yeah, so it was it was really interesting how he chose to tell the story. And then when you go back and watch it, you can be like, oh, okay, so the beginning is actually the end. And, you know, we see the middle portion from, you know, these different perspectives, and then he brings it all together. And that kind of became like his, you know, his signature style of making movies, didn't it, for Quentin Tarantino?
Yes.
After that, yeah.
And that's Quentin Tarantino is my oldest son's favorite director.
Yep. Fantastic.
He loved him. Yes. Yeah. He swear he's the greatest director ever to ever come out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, every film he brings out is something new and something different. And yeah. Any honorable mentions for other Quentin Tarantino films that you like? Because they're all good, obviously, but do you have a few other?
Yes. Do that. I was thinking the Grindhouse movies, but he didn't do those. I forgot he did that.
He was involved. Yeah, he was involved in the Grindhouse. That was
he was involved with the
Death Proof
with the first one, right?
Yep. Yep. He made Death Proof, the one about the guy that drives the car, Kurt Russell. Yep.
Man, my wife loves that one. I like the Planet Terror. My wife loves.
Oh yeah, Planet Terror. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino came together and made these two films that were released at the same time. That was the Grindhouse thing. Yeah.
And you know what it is? I just like the way it looks also, because it has that old style to it.
Yep. Absolutely. And
especially on Planet Terror, like they had it like the film had popped and then it went back to, you know, I love that. I love the way he is a good director.
Oh, absolutely. His films have a very gritty kind of low budget look and feel to them. Like, I mean, he made his very first film, Reservoir Dogs, you know, it's all primarily set in this one room, like in this warehouse. And yeah, like it was amazing what he was able to achieve.
And that was a crazy movie too.
Sure was.
That was a good one. Because sure. Harvey Keitel was in that also.
He was, yeah. Yeah, he showed up in a few Tarantino movies, yeah.
Yeah.
So with the Pulp Fiction storylines, obviously the first one is, it starts off with they go to the apartment and shoot these guys and all of that. And then it goes to the story about,
I think
John Travolta takes Uma Thurman out on the date, I think.
Yes, and then it goes to Bruce Willis.
The boxer, yeah.
After the boxing match, and then all of a sudden, Vin Rames comes into the picture.
Yep.
And another scene that I love in that movie is when Vincent, who's played by Samuel L. Jackson, when they're in that diner with Tim Roth. I love that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wants to retire so bad. He just wants to. But when he asked for his wallet, and he said, you know, when he mentions what's on his wallet, y'all couldn't help but laugh.
Oh, classic, every isn't time. Yeah, it's fantastic. And he's talking to John Travolta about giving up the life. And John Travolta's like, what are you going to do? And he's like, well, basically, I'm just going to walk the earth.
you know,
like Kane from Kung Fu, you know?
Yeah.
Get into adventures and meet people. It's like, oh, the dialogue in this film is just brilliant, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's another thing I noticed about his movies that they're heavy with dialogue. You know, you got a lot of movies like the dialogue is not that much important in the movies.
Yeah.
But just like because I believe he did Inglourious Basterds too, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that's a heavy dialogue movie.
Yes. Very
because at the end that's when the action mainly really just goes through. My son loves that movie also. Yeah. I really couldn't get into it too much. It was.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of his films can be heavy on the dialogue, you know?
Yes.
Like, because it's about the characters and all of that. But yeah, usually towards the end, it all just explodes in this off the wall kind of action, like with Inglourious Bastards and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and same sort of thing. Yeah, like it all at the end, yes, it just goes ballistic in typical Quentin, yes, Tarantino fashion. Yeah. And I don't know if you've heard this online, but apparently his next film, which will be his 10th film as a director, is also going to be his last film. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I heard he was saying like he planned that, right? Like 10 films, yeah, and that was it.
Yeah, yes. He's planning on retiring as a director, but you know, I don't know. Like, I'm sure he'll stick around in some form or another. Like, he might just write or produce, or you know, or some producer might offer him like $20 million and he'll be like, okay, I'll direct another one. You know, so we'll see. But yeah, I think Brad Pitt's going to be in his last film again. I'm not quite sure what the plot is, but yeah, apparently it'll be his final film as a director. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. 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 It'd be interesting. You know, there's still a few of his films, yeah, I haven't seen. I need to go back and watch, but I mean, Pulp Fiction introduced me to Quentin Tarantino. And yeah, like I said, I was about 14 years old when I watched it. And yeah, a friend of mine from school had a pirated copy of it, like a dubbed videotape. And yes, my mum didn't want me watching it because she'd heard it was really violent and all of this. So I had to go around to my mate's house and we watched it. And even his mum didn't want us watching it, you know? So we were watching it in his room and like listening out. Oh, here comes mum, quick, turn it off. And we just pretend games or something. And like, I remember watching the film and some of the scenes in the film as a 14 year old, you can imagine, I was just like, whoa, like, you know?
Yeah, he pushed the envelope on some of them scenes.
He really did. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. For the 90s, like a kid in the 90s, I guess everyone in the 90s, we hadn't seen a movie like that before. You know, it was crazy. Yeah. Do you have a favorite scene from the film?
Yeah. Just the scene, when they were in the diner and did that, you know, that big dialogue scene with him and Tim Ross, yes, when he was, you know, when he was ready to hang it up.
That's right. Yeah, you did mention that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that I love that. I love that part.
Yeah, how he's able to talk Tim Roth down, and eventually him and his girlfriend just walk out of the restaurant. Yeah,
he was crazy. Now she.
Yeah.
I Tim Roth is a good actor too. I like some of the films he's been in also.
Yeah, yeah, he was good. I think that's the thing with Tarantino films is he chooses his cast very well. Like, I think he always picks the right actor to play his characters. And I've heard that when he's writing a screenplay, he writes the character with an actor in mind. And then he then goes to the actor and says, I want to give you this part. And of course, every actor in Hollywood's like, well, Tarantino offers you a movie, you don't turn it down. You know, they're all lining up to be in his movies.
and I heard Samuel Jackson said that in an interview about, I think it was Pulp Fiction. Because I think he tried to do one other movie. I'm not sure. But I know he said something about how he wrote a part for him.
Yep.
I believe for Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he wrote it for him in mind, yeah. And I think Samuel L. Jackson's been in pretty much every Tarantino film, hasn't he? Most of them, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah,
besides the horror movies.
Yeah.
He won't in Death Tale, no. He do find a lot of good actors, though.
He does.
For his movie.
He does. Because
George Clooney was in Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah, From Dust Till Dawn, that's right. Which Tarantino wrote the screenplay for and had an acting card in as well. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, it's so great now we've got a Tarantino film featured on this podcast, you know, with Pulp Fiction. And anyone watching or listening to this, you know, hopefully if you want to be a guest, you know, there's lots of other Tarantino films we can talk about. So, you know, thanks, Charles, for bringing Tarantino to My Movie Story with Pulp Fiction. So we've started a bit of a trend here, I think. And a really great film. Anyone who hasn't seen it, you know, it's a film you must watch in your lifetime. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Which kind of brings us to our next category, the film that you think everybody must see. So we might move on to that film now, if that's okay, Charles. And this is another well-known film from the 90s, a bit of a crime caper, has one of the best twist endings in movies ever. But don't worry, for anyone who watching or listening to this who hasn't seen this film, we're not going to reveal the ending. Charles and I had a little chat before, and we're sworn to secrecy, so don't worry. plenty more to talk about, though. So tell us, Charles, what is this film everyone has to see?
The movie is The Usual Suspects.
Fantastic.
I work for Kaiser Soze. He feels you owe him. He does not expect all of you to live, but those of you who do will have $91 million.
It was Kaiser Soze, Agent Kuyen. I mean the devil himself.
I'm telling you, it's Kaiser Soze!
There is no Kaiser Soze.
Keaton always said, I don't believe in God, but I'm afraid of him. Well, I believe in God. And the only thing that scares me is Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, what a movie, huh?
Yes, yeah.
What a movie.
It's a good movie.
Yes.
It's with five criminals. They went to they got hired by Kaiser Soze to do a crime, and
that's right.
Something happens.
Yep.
On the dock, and but the strange things about it, I believe no one ever seen Kaiser Soze, or if they've seen him, they never.
Yeah. Yeah,
they never lived to tell about it.
That's right.
And Kevin Spacey plays the heck out of this movie.
Yep.
It's a good movie. It has so many twists and turns. The ending.
Yep.
Will mess you up. I'm just saying. You will be on the edge of your seat.
Yep.
And you might think you might know one thing, and then something else happened, and you have to watch this movie.
Absolutely.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Really good. Yeah, you've summed it up really well, you know. And again, yeah, the ending will blow you away. You'll just be like, "What? I did not see that coming," you know. And it's just so well done. Let's go back a little bit. So this came out in the 90s. Did you see it when it first came out, or was it like a few years after that? Do you remember?
A few years after that.
Yep.
This a lot of times that me and my wife, we watch movies, it was before we had kids. And, you know, when you don't have a lot of money, all you got is movies to sit home and watch. Hey, yep. That's what we did. We sat home and we watched this movie. And it really got us, because we thought one thing and we was like, what in the world? And it just had us. It had us stuck for a while. And you know,
yep.
And we're sitting and talk about a movie. We're even pause it so we can talk about what happened, and we rewind it again.
Yep.
So we can see it again.
That's right.
This is one of the movies, like, if you can, if you really love a good suspenseful movie, you sit down, get you some popcorn and a soda, and sit down and just watch this movie.
Absolutely.
And don't move.
That's it. And you'll be so engrossing, isn't it, from start to finish. Like, you don't want to walk away from it. Like, and again, like a Tarantino film, it has quite a bit of dialogue in this film. There's a lot of talking going on, but the dialogue is really well written. You know, the acting is fantastic. And like you said, Kevin Spacey plays this character, Verbal, who's sitting in a police station with this cop and telling him what happened. So it's kind of told in flashbacks about these five criminals who somehow meet at a lineup, decide to pull off a job. And then Kaiser Soze, this mysterious criminal from the underworld, calls them in and basically says, I've got a job for you. And if they don't do it, they'll die. If they do the job, they might die as well. So, like, he puts them in this really difficult situation.
Either way, that's
the underworld, isn't it? That's the life of a criminal. Yeah.
And they got a lot of well-known actors in it.
That's right.
But I don't believe Benicio del Toro, he was not a big actor back then.
Yeah, I think it might have been one of his first movies, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was still young back then.
Yeah, very young.
You know, he was. Yes, it had a lot of good people in it. It was a good movie, and like you said, the dialogue in this movie.
Yeah.
It was exceptional.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And I think that's what really can make a movie. The dialogue, if it's good.
Yep.
And that one is heavy in the dialogue, and you won't get bored watching it.
No, not at all.
Yeah, some movies be having dialogue, and you be like, I'm going to just tap this fast forward button just a little bit to speed it up. No, you need to sit there and just focus on this movie.
That's it. And I think a big attraction of it is the underworld. You know, like we're all fascinated with these like larger than life criminals, gangsters, like movies like The Godfather and Goodfellas and all the kind of Scorsese stuff. Like we know these are bad people, right? They're criminals. They kill people. They steal, extortion, drugs, you name it. But the movies find a way to make them human and make them interesting, you know? And what the real turning point I found in the film is when the Kevin Spacey character starts talking about Kaiser Soze. So we can talk a bit about this enigma of Kaiser Soze, and we won't reveal the ending. Don't worry, anyone who hasn't seen Usual Suspects. Yeah. But tell us about Kaiser Soze. Like who do you think he was? And you know, like how important was that to the film to have that character that we don't really see or get to know?
Because that builds the mystery of, because you want to be like, you like, it has to be somebody.
Yep.
And the way they do it, you was like, yo, man, I can't, because I don't want to say too much.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I just like the way they did it, because I love movies when they don't show who the person is.
Mm-hmm.
You might think it's one thing, and then at the end, it just blows your mind.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did with this movie.
Yeah. A lot of movies today tend to explain too much or give it all away. And movies like Usual Suspects from the 90s, like you said, there's so much mystery there. There's so much unknown. And, you know, you don't have all the answers by the end of it, but you're like, that's okay, you know? You're just engrossed from start to finish. Yeah.
Especially when you see the end, you're like, yo, this is crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know I can't say too much.
Yeah. And I'll usually ask for everyone, and you know, when we talk about your movie, what's your favorite scene? I'm guessing it's probably the ending, but we can't really talk about it, can we?
Yes, it's the ending.
It is the ending. It has to be the ending. Like this the ending of this film is a masterpiece. You know, the whole film is a masterpiece, really. Yeah. And and it kind of, it's one of those films that makes you want to go and watch like all these other crime films, you know, it gets you really into that sort of headspace, I find. Is there other sort of crime, gangster, mafia movies that you enjoy? Any other honorable mentions that you like?
Everybody's movie, Scarface, of course.
Yeah, Scarface, yeah.
Yes. It's one movie. It's not a gangster movie. It's an older movie, but it's a good movie that I like watching. It puts you in that mind frame. I don't know if you ever seen it. It's a Dog Day Saturday Afternoon.
Oh, Dog Day Afternoon. I've never actually seen it, but Al Pacino, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That. Yes. Yes.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. That.
There's a lot of those older films I need to see, like the early Pacino and Robert De Niro films from the 70s and stuff. I've seen the Godfather films and, you know, a few other ones, but yeah, that's what I need to see. So I'll make sure I watch that and we'll talk about it.
But you know what? It seemed like the older movies, they built the suspense up. Like you'll be on the edge of your seat trying to figure something out. Now it seemed like the first 5-10 minutes of the movie, you can already guess what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't try to hide too much or try to build it up as much. It's like, I don't know. It's just a different feel when you watch the newer movies now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're made differently. And I don't know what's changed. I think maybe when the internet came along, and like if you had a movie like The Usual Suspects come out today, there's no way you'd be able to protect the ending. Like people would just go online and spoil the ending, you know. It's impossible these days to avoid that. You just have to stay offline altogether. But back in the 90s, there was no internet. There was, you know, no one, you know, piracy wasn't really a huge thing in the 90s. It kind of came in the later 90s. But like, I think we went and watched movies because there were still movie stars back then. You know, that's what took us to the theater. Yeah. And word of mouth. Like I've heard about Usual Suspects through word of mouth. Like, all my mates at school were saying, have you watched Usual Suspects? Have you watched Usual Suspects? I'm like, no. And then in the 90s, we in Australia, we didn't get cable until the 90s. Our cable here is called Foxtel. And that came in the 1990s. And pretty much it's the only cable station we have here. We've got all the streaming services, but we've got Foxtel. And we got that in the 90s when it sort of first came out. And The Usual Suspects was playing on Foxtel all the time, right? And I knew it was like rated MA 15 plus, so I wasn't quite old enough to watch it yet. But I told my dad about it, and he's like, oh, yeah, everyone's telling me I should watch it. So I remember my dad went and watched it, and then he says, do you want to watch The Usual Suspects? I'm like, yes. And he let me watch it. And then, yeah, I went back to school, and then I started telling everybody, you got to watch The Usual Suspects, watch The Usual Suspects. Yeah, so it's definitely that word of mouth was very prevalent back then, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Fantastic. Well, again, usual. It's so hard not to talk about the ending with this film. We're both like biting our lips at the moment. Like, we could do a spoiler version of Usual Suspects one day, and we could dedicate a whole podcast episode to it if we wanted to, I think. But we'll have to move on. Otherwise, we're probably going to ruin it. The last film now, Charles, that you want to talk about today, and this is the film that you said changed your perspective. And it's a little film from the 90s. Like I was telling you before, I knew about this film. I was sort of always on the back of my mind, I need to watch this film one day. And then you brought it up. I'm like, great, now I'm going to watch it. And I was a bit of a mess afterwards. I was, you know, I was crying. I was like, oh, that's just sad, but moving. Yeah, so I know you really want to, there's a lot to talk about with this movie. So yeah, tell us, what is this film, everyone? That changed your
perspective. I know my movie selection is stuck in the 90s, but that's where the movies were at. This movie is Simon Birch. Yes.
Simon Birch.
Hollywood Pictures presents Joseph Mazzello, Oliver Platt, David Strathairn, Ian Michael Smith, and Ashley Judd.
Your mother's so sexy that sometimes I forget she's someone's mother.
What if I said the same thing about your mother?
I'd have you committed.
Simon Birch.
Excellent movie.
But absolutely.
It's about a kid, Simon Birch, him and his best friend. Simon Birch was born a little person, often neglected by his family, but he had a best friend. And his best friend, Ashley Judd, in the movie. Ashley Judd brought him in like she was his own kid. Best friends.
That's right.
And his best friend never looked at him different. Mm-hmm. And they always had that saying that I was saying to my wife for a while. I know she got tired of me. See you later, alligator. You know, and a wild crack.
That's right.
But it's a touching movie because they were truly good friends.
Mm.
And the one thing about Simon Birch, he knew that he was a little person, and he knew he was born with a disadvantage, but he never was down. He always laughed. It seemed like he always laughed. Even when his family was treating him wrong, he always laughed.
Yep.
And he knew that God had him here for a purpose.
That's right. Yep.
And that movie, I'm telling you, you watch it, just have some tissue.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a guy and you don't like crying in front of people, just get ready to get up and just walk away and go in the restroom or something.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's a good movie.
It is. If it doesn't make you shed a tear, then there's something wrong, I think. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to, because there's so many parts of the film we can relate to about being a kid, experiencing the death of a family member, the death of a friend, being different, being picked on, being left out, all these sort of things that we all experience in some way are captured in this movie. So yeah, it definitely tugs at the heartstrings and all of that. So I believe it's set in the 1960s in some like small, maybe some New England town in America. And these two boys are best friends, Joe and Simon, and Joe sort of looks after Simon. They go everywhere together. They do everything together. And, you know, they're just sort of living their life and having fun and being boys and mucking around and that sort of thing. And then tragedy strikes. We're not going to say, again, Charles and I discussed this before, we're not going to spoil this movie for anybody. You need to watch it. It wasn't spoiled for me when I watched it the other night, so we're not going to spoil it for anybody here. Anybody watching, no spoilers in the comments, please. So yeah, tragedy strikes, right? And then it changes the friendship, doesn't it?
Yes, it changed it. It changed it quick. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And just think about it. It'll get you if you just sit there and think about the movie a little bit.
Yeah.
But they had a real good friendship. It was just sad, though. Just hearing his voice when stuff went on, that's what really started some of the waterfalls right there.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, oh man, come on, Simon.
Yeah. And the little kid who played Simon, a brilliant performance. And the actor that played him, I think he only ever did this one movie. I was looking up his profile on IMDb. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. I think this was the only movie he did.
Yep, I believe
because
so.
Because you know what? I had went on Prime trying to see if I could find the movie, and I don't think they streamed it on Prime.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I had a hard time finding it as well, but I was able to buy a copy of it, so that was good. A little bit of searching, but I found it. It's not an easy film to find, unfortunately. So, but if you can find it, definitely get your hands on a copy and watch it.
Yes.
And one of the big themes in the film, obviously, we talked about the friendship between the two boys and how that changes and how they do everything together. But really the big theme of the film, which Simon talks about, is that, you know, he's here for a purpose. God has this plan for him. He has this sort of destiny. So can you talk a little bit about that, you know, how the film sort of approaches that topic and what does it mean for Simon?
You know what, Simon? Okay, he knew, and you. The crazy thing is, he was saying that throughout the movie that God had a plan for him. Because I remember when he was talking, you know, he was saying, and he knew that he was born different. And I'm just thinking about the movie now. Yeah. And, I'm not gonna spoil anything, but the scene in the movie that really got me is that when the kids usually, you know, they won't listen to him. And he knew, it's like he knew it was his time to shine right now. You know, like, and everybody sat down and listened to this kid.
Yeah.
This movie, man. That's what got me right
there. It gets past your defenses, doesn't it? It's, yeah.
Yes, man. That movie is.
It's hard not to speak about certain points of the movie, but there's this one line I think that Simon says. It's early on in the film, and the two boys are walking along somewhere, and Simon keeps saying, "Yeah, God has a plan for me. I have a destiny. I'm going to be a hero." And then his friend Joe, who's supportive but a bit skeptical, is like, "Oh,
yeah.
Where's your proof?" And then Simon says, "I don't need proof because I have faith." Did you catch that line?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's such a profound thing for a kid to say. You know, I don't need proof because I have faith.
And man,
yeah, like
that movie.
How could that help us? How do you think that could help us in life? Like just having faith that strong. Like, is that something you aspire to? Something that you try to, you know, live by?
Yes. A lot of times, you know what we can go through a lot of stuff that'll get us down. I mean, stuff, life gonna keep going on, you know, and we get, the smallest thing can mess us up when we have a positive attitude or stuff like that. Stuff gonna keep going on, but all we have to, you have to believe that it's gonna get better and believe in God. I'm telling you, because me and my wife, you know, we've been together for 27 years. So you go through a lot, you know, you go through the struggles of financial struggles and everything. And sometimes I even get down and my wife be like, look, come on, you know, God got us. And, you know, I got to get back. Like, yo, let me get focused.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you got to remember that he's not going to put too much on us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you're going to make it through. And then you realize like, yo, I was stressing this over nothing. I know this man got my, you know, he has me.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of times if I feel myself going through stuff, and I ain't trying to get preachy or nothing, but you know, I just stop and I'd be like, look, God, I'm putting it in your hands, and I'm leaving it alone after that.
That's it. That's it. Like, because, you know, we can all, what I've learned as well, and this film's a great reminder of it, that like you can have these plans in life and you can have these goals, but then stuff just happens in life that comes out of nowhere. You know, tragedy, hardship, relationships changing, breaking down, getting sick, whatever it might be, you know, we've all been through it, personally or
Yes.
someone close to us, you know. And then, but you know, it all eventually will, it comes to pass, you know, these things happen, but then you do get through it. And I think, but the reminder of this film, I think, is that, you know, life is going to throw stuff at you and you've got to be able to adapt and roll with the punches. And I think it really shows the power of family and the power of friendship. You know, the friendship between these two boys is like they'll get through anything together. You know, if they
Yes.
stick together, they'll be fine, you know.
Even when the stuff happened between them, you know, it they still end up finding a way to be strong together.
That's right.
It, man, that doesn't,
Yeah.
that's it. Whoever's looking at this, you need to find Simon Birch and look at
Yes.
this movie. Have your tissue beside you, I'm telling you.
Yes, 100%. I couldn't agree more. Like I was watching it the other night, and I like to watch movies by myself, and I was watching it by myself. My wife had gone to bed, and yeah, I was a mess. I was crying, you know. But and I went to bed, and I was just lying there thinking about it for ages afterwards. And it's a sad film, you know, like you know from the opening scene that what happens to one of the characters, without us giving too
Yes.
much away. But I do have to mention that there is a very funny scene in this film as well that I was laughing my head off. And like I said, I was watching this late at night and I was worried I was going to wake up my wife and daughters. And it's the scene where they're doing the nativity scene as the play, the Christmas
Yeah.
play, all the kids on stage.
Yes.
Walk us through that scene, because like
And
we can talk a little bit about that. That was hilarious. So.
that the scene when the girl leaned over on them
Yep.
and he grabbed her and
That's
yes.
right. That's right. And then just
Yes.
chaos ensues, right?
And people thought it was funny. But you know, another scene that really had me laughing too is when the mom was giving labor and she sneezed.
Yep. And he just pops out.
Yeah, and I'm like, yo, for real.
Because he's so small, it's like, oh, okay. Well, there you go. Congratulations, you've got a baby. Yeah, that's
It
right. Yeah.
has some things in there, you know, you can sit back and just laugh at, and
Absolutely.
some things that'll make you sit back and think. It's
Yeah.
an excellent movie.
It is. Yeah, it's a real slice of life, isn't it? That, you know,
Yes.
there's all these sad elements and things that are hard, but then, like these things happen that just make us laugh as well. It's about kind of having that balance, isn't it? Being able to find the humor
Yes.
and yeah.
And it's some true friendship. It's
Yeah.
a movie about some true friendship.
For
And you don't
sure.
even see that in too many movies nowadays. Now, anyway, you know,
No.
you don't see that.
They like they say, they don't make them like they used to, right? You know, like
Yes.
what was the last film to come out really about two kids and with a special friendship? You know, there was a lot of movies like that in the 90s, you know, like other ones that come to mind, My Girl, which is another sad one.
Yes.
You had, yeah, there was a whole bunch of films like this in the 90s. And another one, you know, about childhood friendship and death, the Bridge to Terabithia, which is based on a famous book. And they've finally made a movie of that in 2003, I think it was. So another film that came to mind when I was watching this. But yeah, they just don't make them like this anymore. Like it seems to
Yes.
me all the films they make for kids today are just kind of animated films, right?
Yeah.
Where's all the
Doing
live
some
action stuff?
karate
Yeah,
or something.
absolutely. And you've mentioned you've got two sons who are in their 20s now. Have you shown Simon Birch to them? Have they seen it?
No, my youngest son, he doesn't watch TV. He's a
Okay.
YouTuber. That's it.
Fair enough.
My oldest son, he goes to the university here, is a film university, because he's going for
Cool.
directing. So he goes there, and he watches new movies, but he watch a lot of older movies like 12 Angry Men,
Oh, yeah.
Vertigo.
Okay, yeah. So he's kind of
Yes, he watched.
studying all the masters, yeah.
like the old Dracula, the black and white, the silent film. He looks at that. He looks at a lot of older movies.
Yeah.
The younger son, he's more into YouTube, and he's trying to get his clothing brand off the line. He's trying to start that up.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, I just support where I can.
Yep.
And keep them positive. Long as they stand on the right track, that's all I can add. That's all I can do.
Yeah. Sounds like they've got their heads screwed on. So good job.
Yes. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, just coming back to this film again briefly, it's a movie that's about life. It's about death, relationships, friendships, and it's a surprising film. There's a few scenes in this I was not expecting, you know, some directions that went in I just was not expecting. And, you know, characters do things which you don't expect them to do.
Yes.
They either hang around or they do things you wouldn't expect them to do for being in that position. You know, I'm trying to be as vague as possible here, but
it's hard,
isn't it? But when you watch the film, and I'm sure you would agree, like it's, you know, you sort of know where it's headed, where the ending is headed, but how it gets there is, that's the main part. It's the journey of these characters, yeah, and how little Simon, you know, steps up is, got me as well. I'm like, oh, gosh, like, don't do this to me. I'm already in emotional.
Yeah. I'm telling you, when me and my wife sat down and watched this movie, because she really don't like watching movies with me, but she, you know, like I mentioned to you about horror movies, but I chose this movie. I said, look, let's just watch it. After I looked at the trailer, I said, look, let's do it. Mm-hmm. We have rented the movie. And next thing you know, I hear that sniffling, and yep. She was over there just crying. She couldn't stop. I had to hold mine in until I got away from her.
That's it. And you know, it's good to watch films like that, you know, every now and then I think you need to watch a sad film like this, you know, because to feel these things and talk about them afterwards as well. And it is a film that you can really talk about with someone, and, you know, for someone else who's seen it, you know, you can go and talk about all the things that we haven't talked about because we don't want to ruin it for people. It's a film that definitely needs to be seen for sure. I agree with you. So thank you for introducing me to it and bringing it to my movie story.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking to me about the movie.
Yeah, my pleasure. No, it's been great, Charles. Yeah, and you know, we've covered your three films now, and you know, like I said, you know, you've really spoken about these films with a lot of, you know, passion and enthusiasm. And for anyone who hasn't seen Simon Birch, I think now you'll go and see it. You know, you've got Charles's recommendation, so definitely go and check it out. Pulp Fiction and Usual Suspects. If you haven't seen them, you know, where have you been? Have you been living under a rock? What's going on, people?
Come on, you
get out there and watch these movies, right? And again, thank you, Charles, for being such a great guest and coming on My Movie Story and sharing your movies with us. And, you know, all the best with your business as well. And I hope it all takes off for you. And we might see you back here in Halloween for a horror movie special. We were talking about that before. So I know you like horror movies, and so do I.
Yes.
So we'll sort that out. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thank you, mate. Thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure to have you.
And it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Okay. Thanks. Take care.
All right. Now, you have a good one.
Thanks for tuning into My Movie Story. We hope you enjoyed today's episode with our special guest and the movies that we talked about. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and follow us on Spotify or your favourite podcast platform. Your support means a lot to us. You can also stay connected with us on social media for all the latest updates and special content, and you'll find our page on Facebook. Until next time, take care and enjoy the movies. See you on the next episode. That.